Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're back. We'll hear from, I'll give you the lineups, and we'll hear from the Dodger manager a little later on as we get ready for World Series Game 2. David Deal, former Giant offensive lineman. You hear him now doing broadcasting work. You hear him with Melusis on Sunday on their show on Sunday morning. And he's on the Giant postgame show on MSG, among other things. David, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
All right. So, David, using your experience, tell us what you see with the Giant offensive line.
Well, obviously, when you sit here and you watch these games and where they are at currently at 1-6, you know, everybody has their fingerprint on this record. But when you truly look at this offense and when you look at the offensive line, it truly has been the issue of how to get things going and be consistent. Because when everybody's sitting here today and everybody's talking about, well, these offensive linemen, they made all these changes, but you got to remember the changes that have already taken place this season. You know, you think you're going to start off with Solder at left tackle, Hernandez at left guard, Jalapiu at center, Omame at right guard, and then you go to the right side and you got Flowers at right tackle. By the time they get to week three into the Houston Texans, everything's shaken up. Jalapio's out for the season. Greco goes in at center. Flowers out at right tackle. In comes Chad Wheeler. And then as that happens, now we go into another one where Greco's moving to right guard. Pulley's going into center. By this time where there's this many combinations, you can't have that continuity and that consistency among the offensive line. And I know it's an easy clutch. Oh, it's the O-line. It's easy. Oh, well, you got to blame Eli. You've got to blame Odell. Pat Shurmur, who is a former offensive lineman, who is a former offensive, obviously, coordinator, understands how important it is to run the football and not become one-dimensional. And when you look at the games that they had success, it was when they covered people up and let Saquon have a two-way go. But when Saquon's getting the ball in the backfield and he's already getting somebody in his face because of the penetration, either the lack of a cutoff on the backside or the inefficiency of movement where that slant and penetration makes Saquon cut the ball backside immediately, those are things that completely change the tempo of what you want to do offensively, especially as an offensive line. So, yes, part of it does go to Pat Shurmur because you want to run the football as much as you want to. But at the same time, as an offensive lineman, you've got to put that onus on yourself, especially when you're in situations like you were in Atlanta, that we better run the football successfully or we're going to be in third and longs and it's going to be one-on-one pass rush on the outside. And that's not where you want to be as a group.
Well, they also been, but look at even Nate Solder the other night. I mean, there were some plays. Wait, you know, you saw Hernandez get absolutely embarrassed by Jarrett. All right, he got tangled up. He whiffed. He came inside. But look at some of the plays Solder made. I mean, Solder had a terrible night the other night.
Yeah, and that's the thing when it comes to Nate. One of the things when you get in adverse situations, what happens? You go back to what you're used to and what you're comfortable doing. Well, one of the things I think with Nate when it comes to his technique, not saying that it's anything with Eli Manning, but there's a difference when you're blocking for the protection and how they have pocket integrity in New England compared to where right now where he is in New York. You think about Tom Brady when he gets in a shotgun set, whether he's at 5 or 7, I mean, he's technically not even moving his feet. He's moving his back foot to get balance and to get some movement and momentum going, but he's not truly moving off of that spot. So when times when you see when it's third and longs or in third and bad passing situations, Nate tends to go back to thinking that he's still in the New England system and not in the New York Giants system. And like I said, it's not a knock to Eli. It's nothing to do with that. It's just that after your third kick, that if he does not widen, you can't bail your outside foot because it's different from where Eli Manning's setting up and where Tom Brady's setting up.
How much of this is how much of this is personnel? How much of this is coaching? How much do you put on the linemen themselves?
Like I said, everybody has their fingerprint on this. And like I said, Coach Shurmur would love to run the football. But when you have negative plays that instead of being in second and eight, now all of a sudden you're in second and 12 because of a tackle for a loss or a negative play, right now this roster on offense is not good enough to overcome those things. When you go back to the game that they won in Houston, they had a balanced attack right from the get-go. They covered people up at the line of scrimmage. And when you looked at the end of the first half, there were 17 rushes. When you have Saquon Barkley as an offensive lineman, you know that you're literally a split second away from covering a guy up to where it's either a 10-yard gain or he can take that football to the house. And as an offensive lineman, you've got to put that onus on yourself, knowing that in order for us to get into a groove, you got to be on the attack. You can't be sitting back and letting them dictate the tempo of a football game. You've got to go after them.
Also, I mean, these guys, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of versatility. I go back to guys like yourself, Soibert. I mean, you played at different times, you played everything but center on the giant line. You played right guard, you played right tackle, you played left tackle really well. You even played left guard. I mean, you played everything except center. I mean, you were able to be versatile. Soibert was able to be versatile. I mean, tough and versatile is what you're looking for in offensive linemen.
It definitely is, and I think that's where some of the injuries taking place have changed that tempo and changed the blueprint of what they were trying to do. Obviously, when we sit here and we're sitting at 1-6, and when you're watching the Giants, you realize that it didn't change, that there wasn't a turnover with based upon what's taking place up front. And when you think about where John Greco is, the reason why they kept John Greco is, number one, because he can play center and both guards, but also he's a pro. He was there not only to be the backup, but to mentor Will Hernandez. Now he's thrust into the starting spot, and then now you're having more adjustments where Patrick Omame, who we know just
who's
like
been
Will
a disaster.
Hernandez,
he's been a disaster.
But both of those guys, both Hernandez, which was known as the road grading run blocking guard, and Omame, who was a better run blocker, are known for those things. But if you don't run the football, you're not going to bring the strengths out of those players. And that's one of the biggest things that they've turned into now. And it is a problem with personnel, because instead of having the same five guys, which they thought that they were going to have to start, now, once again, you're going to a six different combination going into week eight.
All right, you played on the line in big spots with that team. We're talking with David Deal. You were in that huddle with Eli Manning as he was learning and when he had grown up. And, you know, I was making the point yesterday to him, first 8 years as a starter, he doesn't have a losing team, not one, and he wins two Super Bowls. So you guys knew that he would be there and he would be big in the big game. What the Eli Manning in the huddle? I mean, you saw McFarlane the other night killing him. Oh, he's got to be a leader. We don't know what is said in that huddle. We don't know what's been said at practice. We see the Eli who doesn't do it like Tom Brady does on the sideline. How about Eli getting a point across in the huddle to the offensive line?
I've said this time and time again. You know, when things are great and he's throwing a touchdown pass, oh, he's so cool, calm, and collected under pressure. And then when things don't go right, he doesn't show any emotion. Look at, he's just got that look on his face. He is the same person, and he is the same even-keel guy throughout. And as a quarterback, especially here in New York, you have to have that mentality. You can't, if you're not a rah-rah guy, if you're not a loud vocal guy, you can't fake it. People can see right through that. But Eli will get into the offensive line. Hey, we need to get this together. He will get on a wide receiver who runs the wrong route and doesn't do the right thing. But when I sit here and I talk about Eli Manning, he needs to play better. We all know that. And when I talk about him as a football player, people are going to say, oh, well, you blocked for him. He's one of your friends. You're just saying this is to protect him. He's got to hit OBJ on that ball. He's got to hit it on the goal line. That's the first read. He had him beat in the track meet. You got to get him that football. But when you go to the other throw, when you have a flat corner combination between Ellison and OBJ, you see that they're in zone. You see that on the inside, Alford's squatting. Why are you slow playing your release and getting in and out of your break slow when you know if you just attack the corner where Eli threw it, That's a touchdown pass.
Well, that's what Witten said. Witten said, hey, on that play, you got to get to the corner. You got to get to the corner.
I've heard Coach Gilbride say that a million times in meeting going through red zone stuff. That if you see that inside corner squatting down, playing zone, get to the corner immediately. But people want to blame Eli for that one.
And listen, all these things go hand in hand.
You want to talk about Saquon?
Yep.
How about the blitz pickup?
Yeah, cool. It was bad.
And safety ran over him.
Yep.
Granted, we know that you're capable of doing things, but that's why you squat those weights. That's why you're in there on third down, not only to catch the ball, but to be that safety net if they do add on a safety blitz.
No question. Why did the sneak fail so badly?
Well, the sneak failed badly because the offensive line got beat at the point of attack. There was clear penetration that the Atlanta Falcons were on the other side of the line of scrimmage. When you're on the goal line, what our O-line coach, Coach Flaherty, used to say, and that you'll hear any O-line coach say, score with your defensive lineman. Not that you're sitting there getting his full body in, but if you don't get his feet and his body into the end zone, it doesn't matter how much push you get by a quarterback or by a running back from behind, because you're not going to be able to sustain it in the middle.
There are guys who have reps as good. I'm not going to even mention this offensive line coach by name, but there are guys, you mentioned yours, okay? He has a big reputation. We know Dante up in Boston.
Skornecki, yes.
Skornecki has got a great reputation. What does a good offensive line coach bring?
He brings a tenacity and an attitude that regardless of what happens on a play, you're going to be able to bounce back from it. But the one thing that you're not going to do, you're not going to have a split second of hesitation that's going to take away from your aggressiveness. You need to fight. You need to grit. You need to make sure that no matter what, when you play O-line, it's a battle of wills. He may win one, you may win the other, but in the long run, you better win the war, and you better be there for four-plus quarters letting that player know that it's going to be a fight. So that's what it comes down to being an offensive lineman, that when things get tough, when things are hard, that everybody else in the rest of the huddle can look at the five guys up front, knowing that they're scratching, swinging, and clawing to do everything that they can to get themselves out of that hole. And they're not just doing it for one game. They're doing it game in, game out, play in, and play out.
If you take a five that hasn't been together, David, and it's maybe not a five that, you know, hey, listen, maybe they're getting changed like this group is, and maybe they're under a lot of duress like this group, is it easier for them to pass block well or easier for them to run block well?
It's easier to run block well, because the one thing that you do not want to have, especially on when you are playing up against a good defense, you can't be one-dimensional, because what does a defensive end, what does a defensive tackle do? They pin their ears back and they play the run on the way to the quarterback. So the only way to dig yourself out of it is to mano-a-mano move a man from point A to point B up against his will. And that's all about heart, dedication, and knowing what the magnitude and the situation of where you are currently in this football season.
When you see guys getting beat as clean as those guys were the other night early in the Giant game, again, you know, seeing the left guard get beat, seeing Solder get beat, what does that tell you?
You know, one of the things that it tells you is that they're not fully confident in what they're doing together as a group. There's still miscommunication. They're still not, instead of just reacting, there's still that split second of thought. And when you're in the NFL and when you play O-line, when you're in college, you can get away with it. When it's in the pros and they dial up a blitz or they dial up a tackle end stunt twist and you're on different levels and you don't communicate, it's over for you.
What did you guys, when you guys incorporated a new lineman into the group, when you had a new guy come in, whether it's the start of a year, whether it's a change in a position, an injury, what did you starters want from that guy?
Well, number one, the most important thing is that he understood exactly what he was doing on the football field. There's no excuse as a professional not to understand and digest what takes place in your playbook, what type of schemes defensively that they're going to throw at you, and how they're going to adjust in a football game. Those are things, as an athlete walking away from a game, you should have a zero amount of regret, knowing that you did everything that you could in preparation and no stone unturned, instead of walking away, oh, I missed that one more, I wish I would have watched a lot more film. That's zero excuses as an offensive lineman. And the last but not least, no matter what happens, you're going to go after people and you're going to fight.
How many times, David, would you say, and you guys were a very good underrated, tough offensive line. How many times would you guys be beat early and adjust well and make adjustments on the fly and then perform well in a game? If you were getting beat early, did you usually get beat in that game, or were there a lot of games where you made adjustments and made changes and it worked?
I think it was, as we grew together, we were able to make adjustments on the move, and that's what allowed us in the second half, especially in the Super Bowl and the playoff runs, to be able to come up with points and have fourth quarter game-winning comebacks or drives to win the football game. But they were all based on being able to get after people and running the football. When Eli Manning is able to get a play-action game going, and he can get up to the line and you can run alerts and checks to where he's sitting there dictating the tempo of football games like he does in two-minute drills, it's over for a defense.
That's the best. That's him at his best.
That's the best he is. And I tell this to people all the time. In all the years that myself, Soybert, O'Hara, Snee, and McKenzie played together, we used to have competitions in practice to see if we could get the check, the alert, the adjustment to the passing scheme and our protection out before him. In all of those seasons, I think we beat him twice. He'd come up, the safety be over just one little split slot. He'd be like, alert, alert. We're like, how could he pick that up? But that's the preparation, and that's how much work Eli puts into it.
Yeah, and he's always been very, you know, in those games, in those big games. I mean, go back and look at how tough that game was in San Francisco and how good that defense and how physical that game was that day. One of the more physical games I ever saw, as a matter of fact.
No question. And what did he do? He kept bouncing up and getting right back into the huddle. We're talking about somebody who had a Liz Frank tear on the bottom of his foot and played through it. Not many guys in the NFL, let alone a quarterback, would do that, and that's just how tough and what type of character person that he is. And like I said, I know that he's getting crushed right now. You know, he doesn't have it anymore, all this. But believe me, there's football left to be played. He has football left to be played, and he's got to play better. But at the same time, if you protect him and have a run game, that's where he's deadly. And go back, I hate to go back in time, but when Eli showed up in Green Bay for that game, playoff Eli was there.
He was. He played great.
Even
McAdoo, admitted to me that he was the best player on the field that day.
Without a doubt. When you put him in those situations where he needs to rise up and you can run the football and do those things successfully, Eli is automatic.
Blocking for a Barkley. Now, you like having a kid like who has that where you hold your block, he can take it to the house. You like having that there. You would think that would give a lineup motivation to have a kid like that back there.
No question. Absolutely. When you have a back like that, that if you give a seam or allow him to get to the second level, that he can break it. That's an enormous thing for us. And when you think about the combination of having Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw, we could power it down people's throat. But then all of a sudden you'd bring in AB, and he'd tuck behind us. But if you got him to the second level, he was running through a linebacker or a hand or an arm, and he did not care about contact with safeties. And when you have running backs that are special like Saquon, if you just get him to the second level, even to the line of scrimmage to where you're not giving up penetration and allow him to have a two-way go, he will make special things happen.
Hey, how many times did you guys make defenses just flat quit with Bradshaw and Jacobs? I mean, they just quit. They couldn't tackle either one of them.
And we would run the same things. We would run zone. We'd run power. We'd run Bob. We'd go right down the throat. And until you stop us, we're going to continue to do it.
Yeah, it's a tough. Now, do you think you see anything that there's reason for optimism with, or is it just we're going to see more of the same with this all year? It hasn't gotten any better. Let's be honest. In 6 weeks, it has not gotten any better.
Well, obviously, this football team and organization is in a tough situation. I mean, when you sit here and you're talking to the players and they're saying there's a lot of football left to be made and left to be played, yet here you are trading Eli Apple and Dan.
And trading one of the best run stoppers in the league.
And you're trading him for the future of the organization. It's a delicate balance. But for these players on this roster, if that wasn't an eye-opening experience by having two guys traded during the middle of the season when you're 1-6, I don't know what would be. From this point on, not only are you playing for the New York Giants to prove that you deserve to be a New York Giant, but you're playing to prove that you deserve to be in the NFL. All 31 other teams are sitting here watching these players and seeing how are they going to handle adversity, are they going to fight through it, or are they not going to have the character and they're going to let it down. Because when that happens, either you are a part of the solution or you are the problem and you're going to be out the door.
Thanks, David, very much. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Mike.
Thank you, Dave. David Deal, who had a tremendously underrated career for the Giants, as I said, you know, came in the league playing right guard. They said, yeah, we need to put him at right tackle. Put him at right tackle. Put him back. You know what? We need him to play left guard. Oh, no, we got to move him back to right tackle that year. Put him back at right tackle. Put him at right tackle. Put him back at left guard. You know what? We're going to play him at left tackle. No way can he play left tackle. Everybody said it. No way can he play left tackle. He played left tackle for 4 years. For 4 years, he played left tackle. And then he came back and bounced around. He played left guard. He played left tackle. He played right tackle. He played right. He played everywhere. And this guy, you know, he played for that team over a decade, right? I think 11 years, 10, 11 years he played for that team. Had a heck of a career. Back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.